Talmud of Rav Chaim, one of the foremost Talmidim of Rav Chaim. There was always a little bit of a contest between the family and Rav Baruch Ber, who is the primary Talmidim of Rav Chaim. It often happens. So the Birka Shmuel and the family often lock turns a little bit. The Birka Shmuel was one of the up there with the Brisker Rav is one of the major Talmidim of Rav Chaim. And I don't know if it's still true today, but certainly 20 years ago, so the Olam Yeshiva would often dedicate much time to try to figure out the Birka Shmuel, as you're learning this morning, so it's not an easy sefer to try to work out. What is, in terms of our particular mesechta, so the first, our sugya, the first 11 simonim are all on the sugya of Makif and Nikif. And then in Simon Yud Beis, is it already end of Zion? Simon Yud Gimel, already the second parak. With the, then later on, he has a kuntaris on our Chokas Nezikin with three different Mahaduris. So we're not going to, we'll spend some time, then we'll go right and we'll come back to try to understand more of the Yesodus, the Birka Shmuel. So the, but I want to share with you an amazing thing that very often what I do is if I come across a biography of one of the great mechavim that we're going to learn, so I pull it out and I tuck it into the sefer. So I have a biography tucked into the sefer of this Birka Shmuel, this particular volume. And when I relearned the Birka Shmuel at the beginning of the Zman, we learned the Rosh, and learned about the din of Mechila. So then this morning, and yesterday, I pulled out the Birka Shmuel and I saw that he has so many simanim and Makif and Nikif, so it's time to learn these sugyas of Makif and Nikif. I pulled it out yesterday that we would schedule it to learn. And then this morning, when I was started to prepare, so I pulled out this article fell out of my Birka Shmuel, I kept it. And I figured I would introduce the shir with some snippets from his biography. And then, this is what I began to read. When the Germans arrived in September 1939, Rav Baruch Ber advised his Talmidim to stay in Kamenetz. The Germans arrived on the night of Rosh Hashanah, but announced that they would only be staying for a few days, because Kamenetz was part of Poland, ceded to Russia. And in stark contrast to their conduct elsewhere, they harmed none of the town's Jews and made do with requisitioning various commodities. Even after the arrival of the Russians in Erev Yom Kippur, Rav Baruch Ber continued advising people to remain rather than cross into German-held territory, despite his view that the Germans who wanted to murder posed a less grave threat than the Russians who wanted to stamp out religion. The yeshiva students were ordered to disperse in groups, each numbering no more than 5 bachur. Rav Baruch Ber urged them to maintain their learning schedule, stressing the crucial importance of every student's achievements in learning, especially given the dire circumstances. Shortly thereafter came Soviet Russia's sudden announcement that Vilna would be handed over to Lithuania. A messenger came from Rav Chaim Oizer with an order to set out immediately for Vilna, even on Shabbos. Unable to bring himself to turn down the community's pleas that he not abandon them, Rabbi Baruch Ber sent his family and most of the yeshiva to Vilna, remaining behind with 20 bachurim. When he did ultimately leave Kamenetz, it was a wrenching experience. After everything that could be taken had been packed, and the wagon stood waiting outside, Rabbi Baruch Ber went over to his bookcase and burst into tears at the prospect of parting with his beloved volumes over which he had pored day and night for decades. He began taking out his Gemaras, his Rashba, his Rambam, kissing each one warmly. This went on for a long time until the Bachurim began to remind him repeatedly that the wagon driver needed to set out and that most of the townspeople who were staying behind still wanted to take their leave of him. With no choice, Rav Baruch Ber moved away from the bookcase in tears and left his house. The yeshiva returned to his former quarters in Lakshok, and Rav Baruch Ber began saying shurim. The topic of his first year drew huge crowds, for most of the 20 yeshivas that were then in Vilna had just begun learning the same mesechta. A few days later, Baruch Ber grew weaker, though he still came to yeshiva to give shiur. On the 25th of Cheshvan, he delivered his final shiur to a group of Talmidim at home. His Talmidim davened fervently for his recovery, and prayers were also recited on all the other yeshivas. As he lay suffering, Rabbi Baruch Ber constantly murmured words of Torah. Those who listened carefully heard him reviewing Masechta Zvachim Bahar. On Friday, after davening Shachris, he went to rest and remained silent. The doctor examined him and noted his deterioration. With his remaining strength, Rabbi Baruch Ber asked for a cup of water to wash his hands, because my teacher has arrived. He then asked the Talmidim, who were caring for him, to repeat an idea of Rav Chaim that they had heard from him, to which he added a thought of his own. Despite the intensity of the occasion, one of them managed to comply and began repeating what he'd heard from Rav Baruch Ber in Rav Chaim's name. Rav Baruch Ber arranged his clothes, checked whether his buttons were fastened in honor of his teacher, and listened intently on the shir. While listening, he fell back onto his bed, murmuring the words, I think from this week's parsha, "And I shall return in peace to my father's home." And that's how his neshama left this world. So then I was very shaken, because Rav Baruch Ber was nifter on the 5th of Kislev. Today is the 5th of Kislev. So I was very, very shaken that it worked out that we had this chus to learn to be zeichet, to be sesoys of Deivos Mekever. So that was a little bit... Send shivers down my spine this morning. So, let's get to work. So the... Rav Baruch Ber builds his Havana of this sugya based on something that we learned together several weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago, and that's the very beginning of the Masechta. So the beginning of the Masechta, Rav Baruch Ber points out the Rosh. The Rosh writes that he understands that a neighbor can be moichel the obligation that his neighbor has to build a wall, right? Beginning of the Masechta is two neighbors an obligation to build a wall together. What happens if for many years I didn't pay attention, we didn't build a wall? So the Rosh says, so what? So we have to build a wall, so we're chayv to build a wall. What happens if I explicitly was mochel your obligation towards building a wall? So then the Rosh, in contradistinction to other Rishonim, says that mechila is valid, as opposed to what's the foil, what is the halacha, which there is no mechila? Kras ksusi. Right? The Rosh says, look at these two halachas. Kras ksusi, Reuven says to Shimon, you can rip the jacket, and I will not charge you. So that commitment is entirely reversible. Right? You give your jacket to somebody who's going down to the coast for the first time. and you say, you can rip my jacket, Zeichel LaMikdash, and then you realize he gave him the wrong black jacket. You didn't give him your diving jacket, you gave him the jacket that you just wore at your sister's chasana. That's a toss. That wouldn't apply exactly. But you have charata, you gave him a jacket, you realize that it's your only davening jacket. So then you run after him. So you can be meichel. He can't say, what do you mean, mechila? What do you mean, you're retracting your mechila? You gave me the jacket. And you said, I can rip it. Done. You're a meichel. Right? If Reuven owes Shimon $1,000, and Shimon says he's meichel, it's done. Never done. Shimon cannot turn around a month later and say, I wasn't meichel. No, mechila is a one and done. Mechila is chal. So when Reuven gives Shimon his jacket, and he says, kras ksusi, there, we don't say it's one and done. We don't say there's mechila. He, that is retractable. And Masha'ena Kain, the Rosh says, you're being mazik me by looking over the fence. So we have to build a fence together. In that case, if I say, I'm moichel, the building of the fence, the mechila is done. The Rosh says that the building of the fence is not to be compared to Kras Ksusi. So the Achrayim explained, the Berachas Shmuel explains, Hezber Adover, that the din of building a kosel must be defined in order for the Rosh to make sense. That's the Brisk Mahalach. In order for the Rosh to make sense, it must be that the building of the fence is a Chiyuv Mamon. I can only be meichel a chiyuv mamon. You owe me $1,000, I can say kilu v'skavalti. You owe me $1,000, it's done, right? The lashon of, we saw in the Rashba. Because what's the alternative? That you give me the $1,000, I give it back to you. Alright, so instead of going through the motions of getting the $1,000 and giving it back, kilu v'skavalti. So that's why mechila is a one and done. You give me the $1,000, and I give it back to you, I can't ask the money back. I can't say, hey, you owed me money 3 years ago. No, done. So, however, so the only way that a mechila can be chal is if the obligation to build the wall is a monetary obligation. Kras ksusi is not a monetary obligation until you tear it. So, if I'm lending you my bag, and I didn't sell it to you. I said, it's my bag, and I want it back, but it's okay if I'm able to say that my bag was torn for Zeichel and Mikdash, it's good for, I'll live with it. Then I decide, no, I can't live with it. Right? So the zechus that I gave you, I can retract. If it's a chiyuv moment, I can't retract it because then it's kilus kabalti, we're done. So the Berachas Shmuel explains, that means that the Rosh understands, when the Rosh draws this distinction, he's saying when it comes to Kras Ksusi, there is no monetary obligation there, therefore it's fully retractable. However, when it comes to building a wall, it must be that it's a monetary obligation. So I was thinking this morning, how can we explain this difference? We'll go one step deeper and then we'll give a good marshal. So then the Rosh says, but it doesn't have, the Berachas Shmuel says, those who disagree with the Rosh and they say that the building of the wall is like Kraksusi, that it can never be Nimchal, that if I say to you, I'm okay with not having a wall over here, and then a year later, doesn't work for me. A year later, I want to do stuff outside. A year later, it's Corona. We have to do stuff outside all the time. A year later, I have grandchildren. They want to play outside. So now it doesn't work for me anymore not to have a wall. So can I say, we got to build a wall? You have to build a wall. So the guy said, you're a Meichel. So the Rosh would say, Taka. He's right. That was Meichel. But the Ramban disagrees with the Rosh. So why, on what basis that he disagrees? So the Berachas Shmuel explains that there are two ways this he did it in Siman Beis. That if either the obligation to build is a chiyuv mamon, or the obligation to build is a chiyev mas, a chiyev to build. It's our karkafta de gavra. Those are the distinctions. Is it a chiyev mamon or a chiyev a karkafta de gavra? Is it my obligation to put up a wall, or do I have a monetary obligation towards you? Right. So the what's the nafkamina? So mechila is one nafkamina. Another nafkamina would be if I decide to build the wall on my own. Nafkaminim gabi archokis osa nizek archoka. So then I can never come to. So if it's a chiyuv mamon, you still have a chiyuv mamon. I build the wall myself on my property. We never talked about it. You moved in, you have a chiyuv mamon. We never discussed. Build the wall, you still have a chiyuv mamon. Masha'ina came, if you have an obligation, a chiyuv akakafta de gavra, to build a fence, and I build the fence first, okay, you're off the hook. Right? So, mechila works only for a chiyuv mamon, and putting up the fence myself, that only lets you off the hook if it's a chiyuv akarkafta de gavra. It's a chiyuv mamon. It doesn't let you off the hook. So I was thinking of a mashal this morning. If Reuven buys insurance, and then Reuven's house gets flooded, and it's covered by insurance. All right. Another example: Reuven has car insurance, and Shimon hits the car. So he goes to insurance and he makes an insurance claim, right? Does he have to fix the car? Reuven has a dent in his fender, right? The car now is dropped in value $1,000. Okay, happened mamish as he was driving off the. All right. So now he says so insurance gives him $1,000. Good. Now is he? Let's say Reuven says, you know what, I can live with a dent. I'm not going to have this dent fixed. I have to get my car in for 3 days. It's not worth it to me. There are going to be other dents. All right. Can he still ask insurance for $1,000? Nope. You say, yeah, why? He's not going to fix the car. No. Nope. What is it, Prime?
I would say maybe it's time to say yes. Sell the car, he loses out on that $1,000 that he would have had.
But he doesn't. He holds on to the car. He has no intent to sell it. Can he still ask insurance for the money? Is it fraud or not fraud? No, was Ariel?
Oh, he's incurred $1,000 worth of damage. Whether or not he's going to do anything with it.
So
whether or not he's going to fix it, he's still suffered the damage.
But he suffered the damage. But is insurance chayv to pay for that? Nope. What is the owner?
Let's say you've broken arm or something, and you lose money that way, you're damaged that way, but you're fine with it. You're a tough guy. You don't want to go to the doctor. You still incur that damage. Meaning, in the end, you could possibly need to use that. Let's say he needs to use the car in the future for something, and the dent prevents him from using it. He could then change his mind and say, "Oh."
Did anybody think anybody call it insurance fraud? Go ahead.
It depends what the insurance. I guess what the weight of the insurance pressure. Situation that when you sign up with the insurance company, is it that if something happens to my car, we will pay you $1,000, or is it only that if something happens to your car, we pay $1,000 for you to fix it?
How do you view insurance? I think that you're correct that we view insurance as a contract with the chiyuv mamon. Right? In other words, the contract with the insurance company. I think this is accurate. But you can check it out. The contract of the insurance company is that if Reuven incurs a certain damage, insurance is chayv to pay for it. Insurance is not saying I'm chayv to pay how much it would cost to fix it, right? But insurance is not saying I have an obligation to make sure your car looks good. When I buy insurance. So l'chayra, I'm not hiring the insurance, giving him a chiyuv akarkafta de gavra to fix my car. I have a chiyuv mamon. They are incurring a chiyuv mamon. Once that chiyuv mamon is chal. I think that's correct. Right? I think it's the, I don't think that would be insurance fraud. I think that's correct. The, The same thing is, I think that the one is not mechuyev to fix. So that's the difference between a chiyev momen and a chiyev akarkafta de gavra. Give you another mashal, which is not so clear. Let's say Reuven damages Shimon's car, and the car drops in value $500, and it's less than the deductible. They're not going to insurance. All right? Now, so Reuven's the mazik, Shimon's the nizik. Shimon's car drops $500, he's not going to insurance. Now, is Reuven chayev to give Shimon $500, or is he chayev to fix the car? If Reuven happens to be a body shop guy, just happens to be, so can he say to Shimon, I'll do it myself? I know it's $500. It happens to be that if I do it, my spare cost me zero, right? Because what's the chiyuv? What's the chiyuv of Hezek? Or alternatively, if Shimon says I'm not fixing the car, but you owe me $500. So that's one of the big chakiras that runs through a lot of Mesechtas Bava Kama. But it's a similar idea. What's the chiyuv of the mazik after the hezek? Is the chiyuv of the mazik after the hezek a chiyuv akarkafta de gavra to make you whole, to fix your car? Or is the chiyuv akarkafta de gavra to pay for the damage that he put on your car? Machlokes halacha lemaisa. You have a similar machlokes. You have a contractor, right? The contractor messed up in building the house. All right. So this happens frequently. So the teve goes to the contractor. You messed up. Contractor is maskim. So I'll fix it. I put a light in the wrong place. Put a door in the wrong. Fix it. The guy says no. We're done with you. Yeah, if you can miss it, a grub it, mistake, I'll hire another guy. He'll get the door in the right place. Right? You, chances are, you got the door in the wrong place the first time. You get the wrong place the second time. Right? Or happens all the time with leaks in the roof. Right? The leak in the roof, a guy does an extension in his house, and the contractor works it, does it, and then there's a leak in the roof. So then the contractor said, and he says, you're right, there's a leak. I can't deny there's a leak. It rains, it's a bucket, it catches water. There's no denying this. I'll fix it. Then he says, no. We gave you one chance. You couldn't get the roof right. I want to hire a guy. So what's the chiyuv of the contractor? They go to the din Torah. The din Torah, the contractor says, give me a chance to fix it. And the guy in the house says, you get a chance to build it. You don't get a chance to fix it, right? Your CV, your reference, just took a big hit, right? So what's the obligation of the contractor? Is it a chiyuv akarkafta de gavra to fix? And the basin will say, you got to give him a chance? He's going to fix it. Or is it a chiyuv al tashlumin? Then he has to make sure that he's giving you the wherewithal, and you have the right to say, yeah, chiyuv tashlumin. So in life, many times, there is this question. Is it a chiyuv akarkafta de gavra, or is it a chayvas tashlumin? Right. So now the Rosh says that's the nekuda over here. The Rosh gives another example. The Zayman Beis. We already learned because it's quoted in Beis and Beis that if we are residents in a complex, so we have an obligation to have a security guard. Right. What's my obligation as a security guard? To build a security booth. Is my obligation, a monetary obligation to the chevra, to the corporation? Or is it a chayves agavra? We all have an obligation to make sure that the place is secure. I guess the nafkamina would be, if I would say, you know what, I don't want to pay, but I'll take a shift. So can I say we all have a chayvas akarkafta de gavra to protect? You guys are all taking care of your chiyav akarkafta de gavra by hiring by a shliach. I'll do it myself. Or I'm thinking that you're crazy. We didn't sign up when we moved in. We didn't sign up to take shifts. We signed up that we're all going to hire a security system. And the fact that you want to volunteer doesn't work for us. So is the chiyuv of building the base shar, a chiyuv akarkafta de gavro, which you can then, you can redeem it by then by paying for it, or is it a chayvas mamon, and the chayvas mamon stays in place? So all of this will now generate another din. If the obligation to build the beishar, the obligation to provide security, even the insurance obligation, if it's a chayvas mamon, then they can be mechila, and it's a one and done. Right? If it's a chayvas mamon, that's the determination, so then all the chaverim can say, you know what, we're not going to make the 70-year-old rabbi do a shift. Right? No. They can all say, we're not going to make him, they probably won't say, it's a chayvas mamon, we're all in this together, we're all pay a shift. Right? If it's a chayvas akakav to the gavra, so they can say, look, you learn. That'll be your shmirah for us. We'll take the outside door, right?
Do the same thing in the mamon case.
So then they have a board meeting 5 years later, and it's new residents. And they say, we never signed up that the rabbi gets to learn. He has to do a shift also. So then they'd be right. If it was a chiv tashlumin, then they can be moichel, and then the chiv is done. But the chiv or kakaf to the gav, we all are obligated to provide shmir over here. So then that shmira, that mechila, is retractable at any time. There's no real mechila. We all have the same obligation. You can't say to me that you can be a nice guy, and you can say to me that we'll take your shift. But we cannot, there's no such thing as obligating ourselves loylam vod, because you have an ongoing chiv, akafta degavra. Like, let's not dwell on the examples. But that's the Baruch Mera points out that if it's that now when it comes to being marchik, he draws an example and a distinction between the first Mishnah of Perek Aleph and the first Mishnah of Perek Beis. The first Mishnah of Perek Beis is Achokas Nezokin, that the stuff in your backyard that's bothering me, right? That so there you have a chiyuv. I'll call rega verrega to be marchik. It's not shach to have mechila then. You put a portable bathroom in the back of your backyard, right? So it bothers me. All right, so I'm a nice guy. First week, second week, winter, and I go outside. Nice guy, you don't say anything. Now it's spring. Now it bothers me. So you can't say, but you're a moichel. Even if I was moichel, I was moichel. That didn't bother me yesterday, the day before, but I cannot be marchal that it will never bother me. It's not such a thing. You have a chiyuv to make sure that the stuff in your backyard is not bothering my backyard. All right? And if I'm a nice guy, and then I sell my house, and the next day I'm actually a nice guy, all right? There's no carryover. Why? Because the chiyuv was the chiyuv, you had a chiyuv akarkafta de gav, you have a monetary obligation on yourself to take care of the not to be mazik me. Okay, so that then stays in place, and that din la klorega rega. Right. So what did we mashena kain? If on the first mishnah of the mesechta. The Rosh would say is different. If you disagree with the Rosh, you say it's all the same. It's all lechiyuv akarkafta degavra nanitin lemechila. But the Rosh says no, the first Mishnah is different than the subsequent Mishnayos. The first Mishnah is a monetary obligation to build a wall. But the obligation to make sure that my activities in my backyard are not bothering you, that's an ongoing chiyuv akarkafta degavra. So again, so the Birkas Shmuel opens up his shiurim of the Mesechta by saying that we learn from the Rosh that the obligation to build a wall is a chi of mammon, that you have an obligation. What's the difference as opposed to a chi of akakafta de gavra, like the beginning of the second parak? Right? What are the distinctions between whether we say it's a chi of mammon, a chi of akakafta de gavra, whether we say it's a chi of mammon, or whether it's we say it's a krak susi? So one telling distinction is nitan lemchila. Is mechila a binding? Is mechila kizkabalti? Does mechila work? Is mechila chal? Mechila can only be chal on a chayvas moment. Mechila cannot be chal on obligation that you have to not to be mazik me, right? So that's the that is a marshal. If you have a dog, you have a goat, and I say, you know what? It's okay if the goat grazes in my backyard. That means it's okay until I say it's not okay, right? I can't be moichel because I can only moichel monetary here. You have an obligation to watch your goat. It doesn't go to my backyard, so I can say if it goes to my backyard and it eats, I will not charge you for that. I can say today it's okay, but that's fully retractable. Because it's not a monetary obligation. It's an obligation for you to watch your goat. So I say, okay, I'm okay if you don't watch it today. So that's one of the telling principles. Nafkamina insurance is a good way for our modern minds to wrap our minds around it. So the brush opens up. Abala mor mefarish l'masnisin damakid bebika ubemokim shenogu ligdar. Right? What are the chidush of Alamor? Succinctly, he has two things. Number one, he says like the Rashi, that a makiv and nikiv is the wall in between. Number two, it's a mokim shenogu ligdor. And what's the din? The din is that if you put up three walls without any conversation, so I the nikiv owe you nothing. You put up a fourth wall, then we got a sugya. Right? Then the Tanakhama says, I'm chayiv to pay minimally, and the Rabbi Yossi says, I'm chayiv to pay you more. Exactly what's mini is more, that's the machlekes and the details of how much you have to pay. Good. HaRamban chaylek alovu masig al perushay ayin sham. Melchamis is chaylek. V'nira oimek machlekes. Alright? So now we're positioned for the Birka Shmuel. We spend Sunday in the Balamor, Monday the Ramban. The Baal Amor says against the Rosh that the building of the wall is not a chiyuv mamon. It's an obligation I have. There's a halacha that the two neighbors have to take care of each other. The Einze, and it's not a din of mazik. Einze mazik mamish. And we know the Ramban held very strongly, used the lashon machasri umazikai. But the din of hezek re'iya and the obligation to build a kosel, because we're talking about a situation of shenogu ligdor, and presumably nogu ligdor means because of hezek re'iya. So therefore, the Baal Amor would take the position. And it's like the Mishnah Dav Zayin base that neighbors have an obligation to protect each other and to pay for security and to pay for security booth. That obligation is not a chi of mammon. That's what how the Baal Amor will learn that then against the Rosh, who holds it is a chi of mammon, right? In other words, the Baal Amor learns the first Mishnah as fitting into the rest of the Masechta. I can take you to Beis Din and say you have an obligation to build a wall. A moshel, a Beis Din can be machayev me. So, for example, we'll learn that if a person has a wall that is near the Rishus HaRabim and the wall is not steady, then Beis Din can force me to fix the wall, right? That doesn't mean that Beis Din then finds me and then hires a contractor. Beis Din forces me to build to fix the wall. They will force me to hire a contractor. They will put me in Cherem until I buy a higher contractor. They will not send me, they will not put a lien against my property and send a contractor in. They will send a note to the gabbai, don't give this guy an aliyah. Yard site, no, it doesn't matter. Don't give this guy an aliyah until he fixes the fence. Why? Because his obligation to fix the fence is not a monetary obligation. His obligation is to fix the fence. So Beis Din will make him fix the fence. So that's the same thing. So similarly, the Baal HaMor will say the same thing is true for Ezek Riyah. V'imkein v'adayim ha'nachach dina dekoisel din shibut shel shechenim oziyadin dim kodam echem eshutfin. So given that rule, all right, given the understanding of the Baal HaMor, that the obligation to build the walls are karkaf to the gavra, so the Baruch Shmuel explained already in Siman Beis that one of the nafkaminas between a chayvas mom and a karkaf to the gavra is what happens if one guy builds the wall himself. So if it's a chayvas mamon, that does not change the chayvas mamon, right? The mashal, if the nizik fixes the car himself, he did this as a kid. He used to watch the guys put the vacuum on the dent and pull it out himself, right? So he does it. Does that mean that the mazik now is not chayv to pay? No, there's a chayvus moment. So the fact that the nizik fixed himself doesn't remove the chayvus moment. The fact that the nizik decides to fix his basement himself doesn't mean that the insurance is not mechuyev to pay for the damages. A chayvus moment. Mashein a kain, if it's a chiyev akarkaf to the gavra, it's not a chayvus moment. If the chiyev to have a wall there, a chiyev to protect, a chiyev to fix the wall, the threatening wall in the Shus HaRabim, and I fix it myself, I'm done, I'm good. So the Baal HaMor will say, "Ozi ir dinim kodem echem and an shutfin, va'osol das atzmoi, the ein loy shum din momain, rak din mehane binene." He says, "This could translate into a din momain, but right now it's not a din momain, because I took care of it already, right? So if I build the wall myself, according to the Rosh, if I build the wall myself between the two of us, I can send you an invoice. And according to the Baal HaMor, if I build the wall myself, you can say, you should send a thank you note. But there's no moment. Hold on for a minute. The borer, the miyaseh beis shar mishal atzmai, the borer, the miyaseh beis shar mishal atzmai, the lo yizchai v'nikif rak mi din nene, v'loy mi din chiyiv shcheinim. And similarly, if I decide on my own that I'm gonna do shmirah, right? Or I'm gonna build personally a booth for the shomer. Right? So now, if I decide, the group has the building says has a security fee to hire a shomer, right? And I send a note around saying, guys, I'm on vacation, my work's working, got nothing to do, I'm doing Shmirah this week. Good. Can he now say, you owe me the Shomer fee? No. We have a Chiva Kakafta de Gavra to take care of ourselves, and you're doing it for us. Okay. We're grateful to you. Can you translate that into a Chiva being Mahanas? Zenene v'ze choser. Okay. Or din of yoreid. Okay. We can translate the chiyuv now into a possible chiyuv, but it doesn't begin as a chiyuv moment. If it begins a chiyuv moment, we know exactly what the chiyuv is. We know how much we've all contributed to the security fund for this week. I did it. I get it. But if it's a chiyuv kakafta de gavra, and now you gave us that hana without us asking, could be much, much less. It could be that 5-point security, whoa, they charge a lot of money, and they send the guy with a gun, and he has a uniform, and he gives us all a great sense of security. You were walking around in jeans and a t-shirt, we said, okay, it's probably good enough, but we didn't give the same sense of security, right? You didn't do any of the requirements in the test, you don't have walkie-talkie, all right, we're good. For a week we'll have... So the hana you gave us is not the same hana as 5-point security. So we'll give... he said, but I saved it. No. You have a din of a hana, you have a din of a yoyred, different din. So, avol ha-Ramban, but the Ramban disagrees. Saivet de mechuyi v'man hu gidi v'yarash. The Ramban holds that you're a mazik mamish. And the chiyuv to build the wall is a chiyuv mamon. V'imkein kol ma she'oise choshev de oise v'shlichusai. V'habez ez a choshev v'zanena de oise v'shvilus. Now the Birkas Shmuel takes us to the next step. All right? And then we'll take questions. What's the next step? The next step is that the Baal HaMor had said that our sugya is irreconcilable with the Zen and the Vizel Choser sugya. Two different sugyas. It happens sometimes, I mentioned yesterday, that exactly why they argue that's not a mahalach that we take. It doesn't mean that it's a good kasha. But the point of the mahalach of Brisk is that ultimately you'll delve into the issue of why they disagree on what is a appropriate translation of a kefa yaseira, or ultimately you will delve into the idea of when they will say that sugya is irreconcilable, and it'll be speculative. You're not going to be able to say this is the reason. You're not going to find a lushan that explains it. So it's a key in Talmud, the mahalach of many Lithuanians, but mostly Brisk. It's a key in Talmud Torah, and if you enjoy that analysis, go for it. But at the end of the day, it's going to be speculative. It's going to be efsher. All right. So that does not Brisk does not embrace that, because at the end of the day, you're not going to know that much when you know before. You'll know a few possibilities, right? So, but over here, the Mahalach of Brisk is saying this issue we'll be able to nail down and get some certainty over here, right? We can nail down this machloikas of the Baal HaMor and the Ramban, of the Baal HaMor and understand that this machloikas Baal HaMor Ramban is the way to be understood the machloikas of the Russian Rishonim, right? So now we go to the next step. All right. The next step is that we notice that the Baal HaMor and Ramban argued as to whether our sugya is reconcilable with Zenen and Vizay Choser. So the Baal HaMor says our sugya is talking about a situation of Shenogu Ligdar, and therefore it is not reconcilable with Zenen and Vizay Choser. And the sugya is Chalukos. And the Ramban understands that we have to reconcile our sugya with the Sugin Bava Kama, that Zenen of Zlechosim. So the Baal HaMor, who understands that the din of building the wall is Akar Kafta de Gavram, and it's not Nitin for Mechila, so that has nothing to do with Zenen of Zlechosim. Zenen of Zlechosim, there's no, you can't even apply the same terms. There's no chivar kakaftan. It doesn't. It's a different parsha. I sleep in your bed and breakfast, And if you're not chaser anything, I owe you nothing. If you're chaser something, I have to pay you for the hana. Okay. But that has nothing to do. You can't even fit the two sugyas together, because over here there is an obligation to provide security. Here's an obligation to they shouldn't be mazik you. Here's an I have an obligation. So now you build the wall. So you have released me from my obligation. The Baal HaMor says that there could be some point where I could come to you and I could say, I did give you some benefit. If in fact I did give you some benefit, so then we can talk about how much you owe me. Avol Ramban Sefer, the Mechuyev B'Mona, who could be a Rosh? Therefore, the Ramban says there's a monetary obligation. So if you build the wall, that means we all have a monetary obligation to build this wall. I have to do it. I have to hire a guy to build the wall. If you decide to build it, so you are acting on my behalf. So the Ramban says that according to the Baal HaMor, if it's a case of noigim ligdor, and we have a chiv to build this wall, so he says he the Ramban is also bothered that this should not fit into zen nene. But for a different reason. Because since we're all obligated to do this, Mimela, you're doing it on my behalf. You're doing it as my shlichos. He'll say, Din of Yoreid. Okay? Hine kuchus a rishoinim. The mamahani takonas mokim. Shaloi nogu ligdom ibika. And then the Baruch Ber goes on to the next Nakuda that the Rishonim focus on. And they hold on for a minute, that the next Nakuda that the Rishonim focus on is that if the din is that if I build a wall, I can then charge you. If I build all four walls, I can charge you, and you have to pay me. So, what have Chazal accomplished when they said there's such a thing as a bika, as a mokim shenogu sheloy ligdor? Right, again, because Shmuel's now is shifting gears, and he's saying, the Rishonim ask, the Rishonim would disagree with the Baal HaMor. They ask, that we are moikim the sugya in a mokim shenogu shaloi ligdor. In a mokim shenogu ligdor, so we all have a chi of mammon, and there is no reason why we shouldn't simply say, wall by wall by wall, I'm chayiv to pay you. Right? We shouldn't have to wait till we build all four walls. We have a chi of mammon to take care of this. So it's a mokim shenogu shaloi ligdor. And now the Rishonim say, so we don't get this. Because amokim shenogu shaloy ligdor means that if I talk to you, if I pre-negotiate, you're out of it. You say we didn't sign up for this, right? Security. There was no. It didn't say in the contract that we're going to pay for security for the building, right? We moved here. There are no guards in front of the building. No security. So amokim shenogu shaloy ligdor. Okay. Now. So we're not participating. You're nervous about a security guard? We're not going to stop you. You can hire one. Whoever wants it, but we're not obligated to pay. Right? We're not being mishtatev. Welcome, I moved here. We don't put a fence over here. We hold hezekri over here. Now, you want to put up a fence? Fine. So the Rishonim say, so then how you talking? That once he puts up four walls around me, so now I have to pay him? Because he didn't ask me initially. So the Baal Amor says that hinei kushes of Rishonim t'mam mahani takonis mokum shlo inogu ligdor bibika t'kol echod yakti v'yakif yechayv es chaveroi. So the way the Rishonim say, so what's the point of having a mokum shlo inogu shlo ligdor? It's only a question of whether you move first or talk first. Is that the only difference? So that doesn't come up in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Bika and Gim Bika is a Mokum Shinam Shalikdar. Gina, different. So what's the difference? I'm not Mechuyev. So why in the Mishnah say, not Mechuyev? You're not Mechuyev if the guy is an honest guy and talks to you first. But if the guy is a slippery guy and puts the fence up, you're going to be Chayev? That didn't seem to show up in the Sugya. So we know what the Ramban said. We know the Ramban said it's a din of Yoyred. So that's what the Baal Amor goes, that's what the Mishnah now describes. To call echad yaktim habeir hu the shnei dinim yesh b'din nene to hu etzem dim. There's a din of hano and a din of yoyre. Right now, when we did the sugya, so we explained on Thursday that the din of nene and the din of yoyre are all part of the same larger parsha, because that was the way that we were able to explain how the Ramban could say his sugya fits into. Okay? But that's what we're holding right now. And we can add one more nekuda, is that may be what forced the Baal Amor to say this is an entirely different sugya. It's not a sugya of Hezekriya, it's not a sugya of, it's a sugya of what's the halacha when a person skips the pre-negotiation. What are now the incumbent responsibilities of all the parties? Okay, question. Go to Avram.
Yeah, so the way that Birkas Avram is explaining this, is that the Ramban is saying that there's a monetary obligation to,
correct,
to put up the wall. So isn't that in contrast with
the Ramban says that it's a nitin l'mechila.
Right, exactly, yeah, that. The Ramban says it's nitin l'mechila. So, no, the
Ramban said it's not nitin l'mechila.
Right, yeah.
That was the Ramban, and that was the Rimigash. Let's check it out. Go ahead.
So the Birkas Shmuel explains the Baal Amor saying that it's a karkat of the gadra. Is that both a malkum shenogu ligdor and malkum shelo nogu ligdor?
No. It's consistent. The Baal Amor is not like the Rosh. The Ramban is like the Ramban. You're right. So you're saying that
the Ramban earlier by Mechila says it's not nitzan Mechila.
Okay, that's the Ramban and Daf Mem Zayin.
It's a different reason. Okay. The reason why the Ramban says there's no Mechila is because the Nizak doesn't know what he's giving up, or that he's not allowed, he can't allow somebody else to do certain
things. Still,
if
it's monetary allocation, it should be Nizak.
He might not disagree on the fact that it's a Chiyav Mamon, but he might disagree that he, on the Nachmina of Mechila for outsider.
The Ramban says that Chaim is saying correctly. The Ramban says that it's not Nidl Mechila because it's a Ramban and Daf Mem Zayin. He says not Nidl Mechila because he doesn't know what he is being mochel, right? So, but what Ramban is saying is correct, and this that we explain that to mean that if you don't know what you cannot be mochel that which you don't know,
yeah.
Right? So the Birka Shmuel would say, that the Ramban is saying in principle it should be a chayvas momen, but a chayvas momen that is indeterminate, you can't be mochel, right? Not because it's the Chaim is saying. All right. But you're correct in saying that that the Birka Shmuel is not the way that we initially set up the Machlokes. That's correct. That's correct.
So the Balamor says that building the walls of Karkach and the Gadra, is that both Malkum Shinogu Ligdor and Malkum Shinogu Shalonogu Ligdor? Both situations?
No, the Malkum Shalonogu Ligdor shouldn't be then there should not be a Chiyuv of Karkach and the Gadra.
It wouldn't be.
There's nothing
at all. There shouldn't be. At most, it could be a chiv to build a 10 tefach for animals.
So if it's a makom shenogu ligdor, and he says it's a karkata de gavra, then why is it that if the makiv, according to the Balma, if the makiv doesn't pre-negotiate with the nikiv, then he loses out completely? Because we said that there's no mechila with karkata de gavra.
Right.
So then why wouldn't the nikiv have to pay?
Because it's done, like the deed is done. There's the fear that there needs to be something there, and he just did it. He just went ahead and did it. It's not that you have. It's not that there's an existence of you owe me $100, I owe you $100, so that we can build a wall. It's that there's just needs a wall needs to be there. There's a wall there now. There's a wall now there. So the mail lets.
Wait. So what does that mean by there's no mechila by Karkata de Gavra?
That the. That if I cannot waive your obligation to do something, right?
Okay.
Right. For example, let's say you have a wall that is an unstable wall on the edge of my property, right? So you have an obligation to fix that wall because it's dangerous. So I cannot waive your obligation to make sure that your wall is safe.
But you could fix it yourself, and that would be the end of it.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Right. Now, it's true that we may have suggested certain svaras, and when we were learning it, and the Birka Shmuel might be saying things differently. That's right. That's part of. Part of the limud. So when we learned the Balamor, we may have said that the reason that if the makif puts a wall up without negotiating, so he's being makabel upon himself. Right, that's correct. The Birka Shmuel is saying that if we establish that putting up the wall is a obligation like a kafta de gavra, so then we can explain that the reason why putting up the wall does not create an obligation wall by wall by wall is because my chiyuv, our chiyuv like a kafta de gavra does not create a chiyuv teshulman. Right? That's like Simon was saying. We have to make sure the wall gets up there. Once it's up there, we have done our obligation. All right. So what have we accomplished so far? So the we the sugya makif and nikif. So the way we understood it on, let's say, on Thursday, we explained primarily the Ramban Shita. And we explained that the chiyuv of the makiv is a chiyuv of nechusa, of yorein, of implicit contracts that need not be spelled, the contracts that are there, obligations that are there because I know that you want this to be done, and I know you want to hire someone to do it, and I'm doing it like a yor l'sarach sadech hamer. We explain that in order to understand how the Ramban could say it's yoreid and Chazal say it's a din of zenena, as we explain, they're all similar ideas. Nechusa, they're all some ideas of that the way the Taisvah says in Ksuvas, that the daite da'ato v'das kol b'nei adam. Everybody has this understanding. It is one of the running assumptions of society. I want my sidewalk shoveled when there's 3 feet of snow, and I'm willing to pay for it. All right? It's a running assumption, and if I happen to not be part of the group that wants their sidewalk shoveled, then I have to make some kind of macha. But otherwise, it's out there. Similarly, if I run a bed and breakfast, and there's a signed vacancy, and a guy moves in without going past the front desk, he's going to have to pay. Right? Because there's a contract out there, even though we didn't sign. So that's how we explain the sugya. Then Sunday, we learned the Baal HaMor. Radically different shot. Different, Ke'ilu is a different sugya, like a different Gemara. It's talking about a Mokum Shenogu Ligdor, and there it's a sugya that doubles down on the question of people who have a mutual obligation towards each other, and one guy goes ahead and does it himself. What are the obligations? Basically, if he doesn't accomplish much, he puts up three walls, then he's on his own. He puts up all four walls, and he really did something that we wanted to get done, but he did it on his own, without going through the board, without getting board approval, without discussing. So what happens then? Right? Also happens very often in Jewish life. Right? So now one of the the Baal HaMor is a sugya about it. What are the obligations? Machlokes Rabbi Yosi and Chachamim. Whether he gets full compensation, partial compensation. That is the sugya. Then on Monday we said that the Ramban, we learned the Shita of the Ramban and the Rashba without seeing him present his opinion in contradistinction to the Baal HaMor. But then on Monday we looked at how does the Ramban view the Baal HaMor. So he views the Ramban as a Yetzi Dofen, as a very strange, the Ravid, it's a bizarre pshat, so to speak. Not bizarre is a big word, but as a out-of-the-box pshat, right? That it's going to be a mokim shenogu ligdor, right? So we explained yesterday what would push the Baal HaMor to say his pshat, right? And we explained that, and we suggested that you can see from the Ramban when he grapples with, and that's what generated the Baal HaMor's pshat. So, for example, the Aizen Akasha, which the Rishonim grapple with, is that in the Ramban's world, why should my proactive and independent action and unilateral action create a chiyuv, where if I would have discussed it, there would not have been a chiyuv. All right? So that could be what drives the Baal HaMor to say, this is a huge kasha, we can. Now, what forces the Ramban, the major wall that the Ramban has against accepting the Baal HaMor's pshat, is he has to say, Baba Kama, sugyas chalukas. Chazal tell him pshat in our sugya. Baal HaMor says, can't do it. Sugyas chalukas. And the Ramban and Rabbi Shalom do not accept that They said we have to figure out how we reconcile, how we are going to reconcile our sugya with the sugya of Zenena the Chaser. So it's going to have to be a sugya of Loi Nogu Ligdor. Right? And then it's going to have to be, we're going to have to somehow understand why a unilateral action is going to gain more currency than a negotiated action. And the answer is Yoyred. So now we're going to have to, so now the Baruch Shmuel says that we see from the way that the Balamor and the Ramban view Mokoyim Shenogu Ligdor, and therefore there is a chiyuv of putting up a wall, and the Ramban says once it's a Mokoyim Shenogu Ligdor, then it cannot be subject to Zeneh V'Choser, because he looks at it as a monetary obligation. That means the Balamor must look at it as the Chivak HaKafta de Gavra. And that fits into the two models that the Birka Shmuel sets up, that we all can set up, about how you view Hezek, my response to Hezek Riya. Is my response to Riya Chivas Momen that's placed upon me, or a Chivak HaKafta de Gavra, like that I shouldn't be a Mazik? And the Lashon of the Ramban supports that it's a Chiyuv HaKarkafta de Gavra because he calls it a, that you're a Mazik. Right? And the Balamor accepts the idea of the Rosh that it's a that it's Nitin L'Mechila. Sorry, the Balamor accepts the Chiyuv Koisel as the Chiyuv Midin Niske Shechenim, and it's the Chiyuv HaKakavta de Gavra, and the Ramban, so we have to work hard to understand how the Ramban can see it as a Din Mazik and still see it as a din of a chivus moment, and it means we have to tweak the way that we learn the Ramban and the Rosh at the beginning of the year. Okay.
You want to come by today?